everybody, and welcome to another episode of Comic Pop Visits, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
April,
Jonathan,
Lenny.
And in today's episode, we are visiting with Rhonda Rees of the Rhonda Rees Public Relations Company and Aseity Press Publishing. Rhonda, thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule for doing this with us.
Oh, thank you very much.
And we came by Rhonda with one of her PR ventures that she's doing here lately with Connie Landsberg with The Perfect Tear. So in the near future, we'll be looking at that book. Yeah, I have actually finished it, Rhonda, so you'll be pleased to know that.
Wow. Okay.
I think the others are kind of in between, or Lenny might have be mostly done. I'm not sure where
I'm about halfway.
Yeah. Well, that sounds good.
Besides all the other stuff that I'm listed that Rhonda has done, she is also the author of Profit and Prosper with Public Relations, Insider Secrets to Make You a Success. And we're not actually going to talk about that book specifically, but what happened with her related to her book. And later on, we've asked Rhonda to come back later to actually talk about the book specifically once we read through it. So we appreciate you sending that to us as well, Rhonda.
Oh, thank you. I can't wait to come back.
And hopefully we won't scare you away tonight. So.
Well, maybe I'll scare you away.
No. We're hard to scare.
Yes, we are very.
We have some darker authors that.
What do you call it? We're like shell shocked. We're pretty scary, but we don't. You know, we
don't have very many lines here.
He writes about zombies, and I write about devils. So
there's no proof.
Ooh,
there's no proof that I.
Well, I'm anything. Pretty scary in the morning, so it depends on when you're going to play this. But
I'm scary in the mornings too.
I definitely say not going to do an interview in the morning. I would be asleep.
But no one is as scary in the morning as April.
Yeah, April is pretty scary in the morning.
Is that right?
I am the devil.
We've had the misfortune of having to do an early morning interview with her on location.
On location.
Yeah, on location. And yeah, and she's hard to get up.
That's not even the worst of me.
Yeah.
No, anyways,
back to Rhonda.
Okay.
She's been in the publishing industry. I'm not sure how many years. You don't have to tell us if you don't want, because I know you don't want to start adding
actually,
up years.
I've been in the public relations business for 35 years now, and the publishing industry probably about 10.
Okay. So
that's cool.
That's how long I've been in the life business.
So did you get into publishing through public relations, or did you always have it on your brain to, you know, kind of put the two together?
What had happened is I had been giving a lot of speeches on how to do public relations to different audiences and universities and businesses and you name it. And the same questions kept coming up all the time. And so I made a note of that. And I thought, well, you know, maybe I have a book here. And so I thought I would go ahead and write a book. And that's when I formed the publishing company.
And April kind of jumped some of the stuff. And Rhonda actually mentioned this, speaking to some universities. And she's also doing television interviews, talk shows, and public radios. She's been a member of several professional organizations. I'm just going to highlight a few of these. We have the Encino Chamber of Commerce, British American Business Council. That's kind of interesting. That's cool. But the one that really caught me was Spawn, because if we're comic book people, so Spawn
is a comic book
character, but it actually stands for Small Publisher Artists and Writers Network.
Dang it. If only it was like the Spawn of the Devil.
Right.
Sorry, Jonathan. Sorry.
She's had a variety of clients. Like I said, she's introduced us to one of our authors that she represents. She's been with Fortune 500 companies, fire and safety firms, grassroots PR campaigns, but some of her more recent notables, and if I get these wrong, you have to correct me, Rhonda. So I apologize ahead of time.
So far, so good.
The three big ones that she's gotten here lately, which is really nice, feathers in her cap.
Nice caps in your feather there, miss.
That's even more impressive.
Right?
Like, yeah, how many caps can you get in that feather?
And how small do they have?
I have no idea.
It's probably a peacock.
I should think you just give me an idea.
Yes, she has She's been the award winner of the Kerlin Award, which is the industry recognition of writers in the news. And I'm not sure what year that was. So
that was last year.
Okay, so that was last year. So the next one I'm going to mention is 14, where she was the Publicist of the Year from the book Publicists of Southern California. And then recently, if I'm correct on this, as of February of this current year, she became the recipient of the Publicist of the Year Award from the Bulldog Reporter.
Wow, that is...
Well, actually, that was in December, but my run is still going on.
Okay.
So it's right
well,
now.
Well, congratulations.
It was in December.
That's okay. Like, that's huge.
Well, so. Thank you. It was a nationwide competition, and it was judged by some top journalists.
Right.
And the reason why I won is for this online book piracy PR awareness campaign that I've been involved in.
Right. Which we were, which is the main topic for this interview,
right.
and you weren't always an advocate for this, for anti-piracy. This happened to you, correct?
Yeah. Actually, what had happened is 2 years ago, I was over at the LA Times Festival of Books on the USC campus, and I was with the SPON organization, and I tried to sell some books, and somebody came up to my booth. It was a student, and he just very casually said, you know, is there a way to get your book for free? And I thought, well, this is really strange because we're all here trying to sell books. And I noticed that he was looking at something on his phone, and I didn't really think too much of it. But about 4 or 5 months later, I was just running a random Google search online just to see how my book was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, I stumbled on this website, and it said that it had already given away close to 600 copies of my book. And
wow.
There were some other websites, and I was just in shock because I had copyrighted the work, I had trademarked it and registered it, and there it was. So I was just really, really surprised.
Now, with this person coming up to you, and I kind of feel bad now because you're sending us a free copy of your book.
Oh, well, for you, it's okay.
But one of these things, this is something that you knew nothing about. You've gone through some of the steps, and this is what the Bulldog was primarily for, was for the piracy. And all of those that are involved kind of look at piracy a little bit different. Some people look at it as a way, you know, information is free-flowing. But there is the copyright laws, like you mentioned, everything like that. So you have to protect yourself. But you're coming from it not from a big industry person, the way I understand it. You're coming from it from a small press or self-publisher. If you want to explain to the audience members that are into want to create their own material, and like I said, we have a couple of aspiring artists that we know that are sitting here with us to protect themselves.
Well, yes, you see, that's exactly right. I'm coming from the small publisher, self-publishing area. And so, you know, naturally, when this happened to me, the first thing is that, you know, you're in a state of shock. And so what I did at first is I immediately called a contact I had that had helped me trademark the title of the book and get it registered. And the problem with this is that this was done in the United States, and a lot of these pirated websites are overseas. And so this particular company that had helped me with the trademarking and registering said they really couldn't do much about it. And so I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to start. I didn't know who to contact. So I just showed what I found to some computer savvy colleagues, and they took a look at it. And one person recommended that I do something called a Whois search. And also, what you're trying to do is try to find out who the domain name belonged to, where and when it was registered, and when it might expire. And you're trying to find out who the web hosting company is, because you have to really get a hold of that company. And you're supposed to send them something called a DMCA takedown notice. And that stands for Digital Millennium Copyright Act notice. And it has to be worded just so it can't be something that you try to figure out yourself. You have to have a properly worded DMCA takedown notice. So I had located the web hosting company. I tried to send what I thought was the right kind of DMCA takedown notice, and it kept getting rejected and sent back to me saying it's not worded right. So I went online and I discovered that there is a website called ipwatchdog.com, and there's a man there named Gene Quinn, and he's a patent attorney, and he's got a nice template for an actual DMCA takedown notice. And so what I did is I basically followed that notice to the letter and then just inserted my own information where it was appropriate, and I sent it off to the web hosting company on an email, and that did the trick. And so once they got a hold of that, they were obligated to notify these culprits within 24 hours and then have them remove all my information, which they did.
Now, this template, that wasn't piracy on your part now, was it?
No, because Gene Quinn's letter wanted to help people just like me, the sort of small publishing people and small publishers, as you were mentioning, and it was a perfect one, and he said, you have my full blessing to go ahead and copy this. Now, there are some companies out there that, for a fee, will draft you a real DMCA takedown letter, but this one was extremely helpful, and it really works.
And so, let's go ahead. Oh, thanks. All good. I'll take that. So, we talked the DMCA takedown, and it notifies them and everything, but what are the repercussions if they don't follow it within the 24 hours?
That is a really good question. By law, they have to, because if they don't, as far as I understand it, I think the web hosting company knocks them down or out or something. Here's the problem. The web hosting company obviously has to, I guess, know who these people are, but they are not at liberty to tell someone like me, and that's where the real problem lies, because they know who they are, but I don't know who they are, and they're kind of, the criminal in this case is protected in a way, and it's a cyber crime that doesn't really leave any fingerprints, because here I've been ripped off and robbed like hundreds and hundreds of other unsuspecting authors, but I don't know who it is, and I'll never know who it is. But the thing is, when they have to take down this notice, or when they have to take down my information within 24 hours, they then will send me a notice, the web hosting company, to say, okay, it's been removed. And then what I had to do after that is do another Google search, take a look again, and then it'll usually say something like, according to DMCA, this information has been omitted or something like that. So that's kind of my receipt in a way. So I know, okay, it's not up there. But the problem with something like this is that once you remove one, then another one can pop up with somebody else. And it's almost like a cancer, because you put out one fire and then out pops another one. So it's kind of an ongoing thing.
Well, my question was kind of similar to April's, so I'm kind of glad that she asked. But I have another question that I was playing with on my mind. There's a fine line between piracy and actually borrowing something from online. What kind of differences, like, you see something online, and since it's on there, would it be all right to use it, or
like for citing
stuff? For citing stuff and stuff like that. Like, there's a picture that you want to use. Is there a fine line between piracy and that, or?
Well, yes. Actually, that's a really, really good question, because there are two different kinds of piracy out there. There's intentional piracy, and there's something called unintentional piracy. And what happens is, with intentional piracy, we already know what that is. You know, obviously a site is illegally saying that your books are for free or whatever, and that's illegal. But intentional, or excuse me, that's intentional piracy. But unintentional piracy might be a situation where an educator or a teacher or an instructor offers some work to their students inadvertently or something like that, and doesn't intend, I mean, isn't intentionally doing a piracy thing. They think they're doing somebody a favor. You know, that is one thing that can happen. Also, bloggers might get somebody's book, and some of them will unintentionally offer it out, you know, for a free copy or something like that, thinking that it's completely all right. Or sometimes book reviewers or something like that. And so that kind of a thing is a little bit sticky. Uh-oh, somebody's pointing a finger to somebody over there.
Not us. Lenny, you hit book reviewers. That's where we fall.
I don't think we've done that yet.
No,
though.
We haven't done that.
Well, the thing is, you know, it's a fine line because I think, you know, you're probably safe and okay if you do it kind of unintentionally, but the kind of piracy that is really widespread and it's costing, you know, so much money and all that is more intentional. And it's really happening a lot by these overseas companies, and they're not from the United States necessarily, and it's not just myself. I mean, it's just hundreds, if not thousands, of unsuspecting authors. And one thing that I recommend people do is to kind of run regular Google and Bing searches, not just Google, but Bing or some other search engine. And what you can do is you can put the title of the book, the author's name, and then the words free downloads, and you'll be very surprised that it should pretty well take you right to these bogus websites.
Now, you mentioned with the cease and desist, basically, is, you know, it's the DMCA, but I'm going to just shorten
it. Yes.
Cease and desist, in a sense. If they come back, you said there's another one that pops up, so these aren't blanket statements. Now, is it a blanket statement to that one particular company? So if they have another person that does it and they let it through, that comes back on them? Or is it each individual time, even to the same company, you still have to send another letter?
Well, if you send this one DMCA takedown notice letter, that should do it for here on out with that your book. It should never show up ever again. But what might pop up is a completely different company altogether, and then you have to start all over again and send another letter to somebody else. And then so it's just hard to say how many of these things are being pirated out there.
So what all is involved in the DMCA.
That's not right.
DMCA.
It's a smackdown.
Well,
DMCA.
Yeah, smackdown.
What all entitled goes into? I'm gonna borrow Richard's terminology. Cease and desist.
Oh my gosh.
That's not right.
Jonathan, just stop.
Cease and desist. What terminology all goes in there? Do you put like the title of your book and that you wrote it?
Well, what happens is if you go on that IPWatchdog.com website and it'll show up with a sample one, it's kind of some technical language, but it'll show you kind of exactly where you need to insert your, or you can figure out very easily where you put your own information. I don't really have the wording of it in front of me, but I don't know if anybody's near a computer that you can look at it right now. But it is pretty crystal clear where you know. Like, it'll say something like, you know, author's name or publisher's name or, you know, and it basically words everything the way it needs to be worded. And you just put in a few little inserts and then you just get it off. Without having that actual letter, as I say, I tried it three different ways thinking I might know how to write it my own way, and it got rejected and rejected and rejected because they have to be worded just so.
Right, and we're talking a lot about, you know, how to, you know, fend off the piracy, but when an author goes in to check for piracy, how do they know what it is? Is the definition of piracy, is it the full book being offered for free, or is it people taking segments of the book? Like you mentioned, it's, bloggers, they sometimes put excerpts from books. Is that considered piracy, or what should people look for?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, actually, that's a good question. What I'm talking about with out-and-out piracy is they literally take a copy of your book, they scan it, they download it, they make a PDF file of it, so that when you see your book on these bogus websites, it looks like you're going to something like Amazon.com or something, where they're literally showing the cover of your book. They're taking the entire 100% contents of the book. Now, in one case, on one of these pirated sites, I saw a cover, the cover of my book, with some words inserted on the cover that I never had put on there, but they did. They made it look slightly different than the original. That was just one case. It's kind of like a counterfeit one, but they're actually trying to pass this off as like it has my blessing or my permission. They go as far as saying this is copyrighted material and it's okay by the author and the publisher. I mean, and that's what's so shocking. And I think the public is also a victim of the whole thing, because if I were in the public and I had no idea and I saw some of these fancy websites, I might think that the author is okaying me to get a copy for free. But the problem is that when somebody goes to claim their copy, a lot of bad things can happen to them. And I've taken down some notes here, and I could let you know some of the things that can actually happen. Would you like me to just tell you a few of the things?
Yeah, yes, please.
Like to what happens to the public?
Yeah, what happens to the innocent public that thinks they're getting a free copy of a book? They're unintentionally, you know, getting the copy. They don't know that it wasn't given away purposely by the publisher or the author. But here is what I'm going to say. Why do the pirates offer books for free, and what is in it for them? Now, what I'm going to tell you is, if you're wondering why these foreign companies want to offer free copies of an author's book, the simple answer is that oftentimes one of these unscrupulous websites will want to collect data on you. And when you go to download the book, you'll have to provide your personal details. And sometimes you have to give them your credit card information. And since they might offer a free trial, for example, and then they offer some kind of a monthly fee, you may be asked to look at ads or take a survey or download something. And another reason is that once you do so, they may give you the quote-unquote gift of a computer virus, or they can engage in IP spoofing, making you think that you're being directed to one website when you're actually being sent somewhere else. And then lastly, they may use your book or others as a teaser so that you'll pay them to get their products, and then you'll receive your free books. So people, even though it might say, well, 600 copies of her book were given for free, or another website said 1,500 copies. Somebody on Twitter asked me once, they said, well, how do you know, Rhonda, if they're really and truly getting free copies of your book, or you're just giving them certain information, or you're getting free gifts or something? So it's almost impossible for me to know for sure if all those copies have been lost. And I told a couple of friends and colleagues to test it out, which might have been a bit of a mistake, because, you know, if you do try to test this yourself... I'm sorry?
They pirated the book themselves now.
They pirated. Well, actually, they didn't pirate the book, but I was very worried that I'd be sending them off to get a computer virus. Maybe, you know, sometimes these sites are from pornography or something, where, you know, they give information and then they do IP spoofing, and, right, you know, you might get some weird stuff on your computer. So it's not only the author and the publisher that's victimized, but it's the public as well.
So how does the public know going into it if they are being duped? You know, are there certain things to look for when looking at it?
If they're being duped, they don't know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is there a way for them to make sure it's a legal form of getting the of getting the book or the...
Well, that's another good question. This is the problem. These sites look so real and realistic that it's very difficult for the public to actually know whether or not they're getting the real thing. There is a company that contacted me called The Counterfeit Report, and they put out an online newsletter. I think it's counterfeitreport.com, and they actually showed my real book, for example, and then the fake, and they're trying to alert people to say, okay, this is the legitimate one, and this is where you can legitimately order it from, and this is what the fake one looks like. This is a sample of what the website looks like, and so there are like companies and people out there that are trying to help others. There's another company out there called piracytrace.com. And this company checks and scans the internet and tries to see if there's any plagiarism or anything going on that's suspicious. And they have a free 30-day trial. And if you go to their website, your audience can take a look at that and you can try them out. And they will literally let you know if they find anything funny. And they have a very reasonable monthly fee. So it might be another safeguard. And I'm sure there's other companies out there that are getting in on this to try to help people. But it is one of those things that's very difficult to know. I know that one way that an author or somebody can let people know is you can obviously send out email alerts. You can use social media and say, hey, you know, if you ever see my book advertised for free, I'm never authorizing that. You know, this is the legitimate way you can go and get it and get the word out that way. That's actually one of the reasons why I decided to do a major PR campaign on awareness for this. What actually happened for me to get so involved is when I found out who the web hosting company is with the first bogus site like this, and I realized that they couldn't tell me who these people were, I just made it real clear. And I said, listen, I said, they're messing with the wrong person here. I said, you give those people a message from me. And I said, I've been doing PR for a long time, and I said, you know, don't be surprised if they see themselves on the 6 o'clock news. And that's exactly what I did. I hung up the phone and I never looked back, and I contacted the Channel 4 News here in Los Angeles. They have a good investigative reporting team. And I pitched this story as an idea, and within about a week or so, they sent their investigative reporter, a guy named Randy McElwain, Randy Mack, and he came to my home, and he sat down, and he put it on the air, and from there, things just started to mushroom.
So, go ahead, John.
I was going to ask, why do you think that your book was chosen to have... To be pirated.
Sorry, I just had to do that one time.
Actually, it wasn't just my book, and this was the other shocking thing, is that it was hundreds, if not thousands, of other books. When I found the first bogus website, I saw so many other books up there too, and it just a light bulb went on, and I thought, you know, if I had no idea about this, chances are 99% of the others have no idea. So this is why I was prompted to call the Channel 4 News, because I wanted them to make it real clear, hey, it's not just me. It's just so many unsuspecting people. And it's kind of one of those things that I thought, I've had a lot of training in PR, and I really believe this needs a better PR campaign just to make people aware and, you know, check your books. And I'm thinking of organizing a national Check Your Book Week or day or something like that, where everybody gets online and we just kind of plug in the author's name, the name of the book, free downloads, and see what happens. I think the whole world is going to be, or at least the United States is going to be pretty shocked when they find out that so many books are being ripped off.
Well, and you do mention making it more aware and bringing the parts to light, but you mentioned earlier that even if you issue a DMCA takedown to the company, it's very hard to find the pirates themselves. So is there any other way that publishers or authors can bring them to light, can enforce the law in different ways, or is it just mainly the DMCA?
You did that.
Well, that is actually a first step, and what I found out after that is I started making contacts with some organizations and resources that could help people with guidance and support. And one place I stumbled on to also, they can contact the Center for Copyright Information, and they help to educate consumers about the importance of copyright protection and offer information about online copyright infringement. And their advisory board is made up of consumer advocates and privacy specialists and technology policy experts. I've also made contact with the Authors Guild of America, and they're a very proactive group in lobbying Congress. And over the summer, they sent out a letter asking for their help to fight online book piracy. Another organization I made a direct contact with was the Global IP Center, and that's a division of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce in Washington, D.C., and they're doing everything they can. And I mentioned the Counterfeit Report Company, the online publication, and the Piracy Trace business, looking out for plagiarism and things. And, you know, speaking of plagiarism, there's been a story that's making the headlines in the last week. And I was going to ask all you guys, see if you've heard of it, but there's a big case right now with plagiarism and crossword puzzles. Have you heard about that one?
How does that work?
How do you plagiarize a crossword puzzle? Yeah. Well, I guess it's very easy to you copy paste, but like.
Well, actually, this was on the network news a couple days ago, and they came out with a story 3 days ago, and it's a big, big headline. And what is going on?
I don't know.
Is
freaking out over here?
Oh, did you find the story?
Oh my God! No. There's a spider.
No, she's having a physical meltdown or something.
Oh, all right.
It just came crawling from this ceiling.
It's literally the size of a gnat. It's the smallest little spider.
Oh my God.
It's literally the smallest little spider I've ever. I think that's like a silverfish or something. I don't think it's a spider.
I'm literally about to cry right now.
That's the smallest spider I've ever seen, April. Like, literally, your dad. Oh my God, she's crying. I swallow those when I sleep, I'm sure. And just their nutrition.
I am so sorry. I usually don't interrupt our guests.
April.
Unless you sound a clown or something.
When you were waving your hands and your arms at me, I thought you really liked me.
I like you more than the spider.
Ooh, okay. Oh, okay.
Oh, moment. And all that staying in. We got
moment over.
So you don't like spiders, huh?
I'm just glad it wasn't a clown.
It's good to know.
All right, keep going.
Do you remember where you were at, Rhonda?
I don't.
Well, for what it's worth, I was bitten by a tick the other day on Saturday.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No, I don't want to deal with a tick. Then you have to pull. Ew. Oh, man. Bugs don't usually bother me, but spiders and June bugs, dear God. Devil's work.
Oh, no.
I can kind of see the spiders, but June bugs, that just
June
seems
bugs.
So...
I'll tell you this story, and then we'll get back to actually interviewing you, Rhonda.
Okay.
I remember during the summer, my friend texted me at like 2 in the morning and asked, yo, you want to come over and hang out?
Yo,
yeah. And I said, well, sure. And so we go over, and we were hanging out in her front yard, just chilling out. And all of a sudden, I feel like this, like, a little bit of a tingly sensation on my arm. Like, not like an intense one, but just enough to be, like, you know, like a little movement a little bit. So I just go up to brush. Like, I thought maybe it's an itch. So I go up to, like, itch it, and I reach under my sleeve to do that, and I feel like this little body. Oh my God, it's a June bug. A June bug
crawled
under my sleeve. It wasn't on my sleeve. It was under it. And I just remember touching that, and I didn't know what it was, and it was sticking to me. Obviously, it's a June bug, you know, and I just flipped out so hard. I think I ran, like, down the street.
Imagine
and back,
if it was a spider.
Like, ah! That was
terrifying. Oh, my God, that's the most incredible story. But, hey, that leads me to a really important question. This is a very important industry question. Is it all of a sudden or all of the sudden? Because we've been doing a little bit of proofreading recently, and we're stuck on that. Is it all of a sudden or all of a sudden, or is it all of the sudden, like all of a sudden?
A. Yeah, I would say A.
All of a sudden.
And all of a sudden.
Richard, you want to weigh in?
Sure.
I don't. You say it's A?
A.
Okay.
That's a Fonzie. I do it both ways.
I'm almost 100% sure.
I've seen it both ways, but I don't really know which way is correct. Because I've never seen it, like, I've never paid attention to a professional all of a sudden or all of a sudden.
It would be A, for sure.
A.
All right. So that's all I needed. Yep, that's it.
Thank you, Fonzie, each time. Hey. Too old for Jonathan.
Anyway, your story just made me think of that question. Okay. It's a very important question.
Well, we were kind of talking, I'm not sure what we were talking about now. We got off on all topics.
Well, actually, what I was going to tell you is what's making the headlines about the
right.
pagers and the
crossword
puzzles.
Yes.
Okay. Well, what happened is 3 days ago, they released a huge, big story about this plagiarism and crossword puzzles. And it was on the network news, and it's all over the internet right now. And what had happened is they found a situation where identical crossword puzzles that had been used about 9 or 10 years ago in some reputable publications popped up in some other publications, and the guy that was involved with this worked for both publications, and he's claiming that it was just merely a coincidence, but actually these are like word for word in the same configurations, and they were interviewing somebody very recently that said that doing crossword puzzles is kind of a complicated situation. It's not as simple as people think,
right.
And that, you know, they're like artists that are, or they're people that are really skilled at knowing how to put together a crossword puzzle properly. And then they were showing on the screen. In fact, you could see a quick little YouTube on it right now if you want, but that it was like set up with maybe one or two minor changes here and there, but it literally 99% the same as the other, or in certain cases 100% is what had already run. Mm. And so it's a big scandal with crossword puzzles. So if they're doing that with crossword puzzles, I know they've been doing that with comic books where they're, you know, pirating comic books and regular books. But I think in the comic book world, there's two schools of thought from what I gather, and that is that some people think that piracy actually helps with getting the attention on certain comics and things, where with the regular books that I'm talking about, it really doesn't help, and it's a bad thing. But I was kind of curious what you guys think, since you're more involved with the comic books, what is going on with piracy on that end?
With the American comic books, it's pretty much the same situation. You know, they follow American copyright laws, or I should say United States copyright laws. With the international books, you're kind of playing in a different field. And with the Japanese, with their anime and their manga, they allow what is called doshiken? What is that called, April? Do you remember?
You.
The fan-made ones? Doshin?
Mm-hmm.
Where they allow people to use characters that are copyrighted, and they can make fan fiction out of it, fan comic books.
Yeah, it's abbreviated. Yeah, DJs.
And they can take it to a convention, and for that one day, they can sell however many issues they printed up, they can sell through, but that's the only run that they can make.
Mm.
So that's one difference in Japan. And then with the translation,
so we'll only let you steal a little bit.
A mm-hmm. little bit.
And obviously you have to tweak.
Unless you can print a lot on your right. first
and
run,
you
then
also,
you can steal a
and
lot.
And you also have to tweak a little bit.
But you can
bit.
Only sell it at the one event. You
so
can't
that,
take it to multiple.
And you events. Have to tweak it a little bit to where you it's
it has
it's
to be
not
a comedy.
Yeah, it will. And the artwork is usually what they change the most, so that right. you so that the reader knows going into it that this isn't an actual copy. You know, this is a fan.
Well, if it's fan fiction, as long as they're not profiting, then it's perfectly
legal.
They can.
But you're saying they can actually profit.
But only the ones.
I get that. But
and what the
it's like a flea market. I mean, like, really, how are you going to, once you start the profiting process, how are you going to stop it? Like, yeah, they can only go to that one event legally, but Japan's a pretty overcrowded place. They could certainly, like, walk in the back door of another flea market, walk down kind of a dark and dismal alley. There's a little man sharpening a big cleaver. There's a cat that looks very nervous.
Well, and that's kind of what we're saying, is that from country to country, you have to look at the laws they have with it, and, you know.
And one of the things is they've appreciated their relationship, so most of the ones that do this, you know, the Japanese themselves, for the majority of the country, I'm not going to say all, have the honor system. You know, their honor.
I love the honor system.
You know, if they, they have these in actual events, and the publishers look at that as free publicity, like you were kind of mentioning, Rhonda, free publicity for their own books. The other trend is that when manga or anime are coming across the seas to other countries, if it has not been marketed to that country, people can dub them or put subtitles, more than like, most likely it's subtitles. They can subtitle the anime, or they can actually take the raw image from the manga, the comic book, and translate it into English or whatever language they happen to speak. But once it does come into the marketplace in their country, then they have to take it down. They can no longer offer it. So we have some websites online that you go to, and you'll see hundreds of different comic books. And for a while, you could get them. But once they're licensed, then you go back to that same title that you might have been reading.
And it's gone.
And it'll just say, this title has been licensed. We can no longer show it.
I've seen where...
So it's like piracy light.
Yeah, light piracy. And I've also seen where they won't necessarily take down what they have up, but they just won't continue it.
Diet piracy.
So, yeah, so they'll have, like, maybe in the manga you got up to, like, chapter 10 before it came over to your country, so that's where they stop, and then they'll put the completed sign on it, because technically it is for them. And so you start reading it, and you're like, oh, awesome, and then you get to that end point, and you're like, that just left me on this amazing cliffhanger, what? You know?
But it's kind of your fault, because you're reading pirated material online, so...
You don't know it's pirated, though. Which is what we touched on, is how do you know, and everything, yeah.
Well, you know, if you didn't pay for it, that it's probably...
But it's legal, though. So the Japanese companies don't go after you for that.
Yeah.
They allow that
different
to
country, different laws.
Until it's licensed within that country.
Sure, what you
and
said.
Then they will come after you. So, in a sense, like you said, it's kind of piracy light to a degree, but the companies kind of turn a blind eye because they see it as a tease, like Rhonda was saying earlier, as a teaser.
Yeah. And then as a teaser.
They get you hooked, so you buy the rest. That's the thought behind it.
Well, I mean, I understand that, but it doesn't make it any less of what it is.
But it's not piracy at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Now, if they continue doing the runs, then that at that point does become piracy. And then they will send out the DMCA. But that's, like I said, different countries, different ways.
Okay.
Sure. And you know, there is good news about comic book piracy and about book piracy and this kind of thing. Compared to the music industry and the entertainment industry, the book piracy and the comic book piracy is a lot less. And they've done some surveys and studies. So even though this is really widespread now, and it's like affecting the average person, not just the famous recording artists or celebrities, like the average person is getting pirated, it's still a lot less in the publishing industry than the music industry. So I don't know if that's good news and bad news, but it's
music and movie industry. It's pretty rampant.
Oh yeah. There's basically no stopping it. It's darn, you know,
when you hear big torrent, you know, hey.
Well, it's like, I won't mention the people or the site, but I have a couple friends that are
pirates.
They're not pirates themselves, but they definitely enjoy.
They're participating in piracy.
Enjoy, because it's basically the pirated version of Netflix. But you know, obviously, it's all
right
free and everything. Yeah. So, So, but yeah, so.
Well, was it one company was actually called Pirates Bay, if I remember right?
I don't know. I don't look at that kind of stuff online, honestly, Richard. I would have no idea what those kind of companies are called.
Oh, like April, I have a friend that's big in technology, and he was like, yeah, they were so blatant that they just called it Pirates Bay. They didn't care. So I was like,
well, you know, I dug up a couple of articles from a Google search, and it was like confessions of a comic book pirate and why they do it. You know, there was a part one and a part two and things like that. And it's interesting reading. Another thing to mention to you guys, you may or may not know this, but I also found out that YouTube videos can sometimes have pirated books in their advertisements or something. And if somebody is a victim of that, they see something on a YouTube, it's a lot easier for them to send a copyright infringement kind of notice. It's informal, and you don't have to send the DMCA takedown letter that I mentioned earlier. You could just go ahead and let them know on YouTube that, hey, I'm the author. I didn't authorize this. Please take this down. And it's a lot more informal. And there's evidently respond to it right away, and they do take your stuff down. And I think there's a relationship between Google and YouTube or something. So they notify them right away. And so that's just something else to mention, that this piracy stuff happens in a lot of formats.
True. Well, and you do mention how it's easier to, you know, shut it down on YouTube. So, which is true. YouTube is very forward thinking, very, you know, starting to integrate, you know, to internet technology into, you know, the legal system and into the life in general. So do you see dealing with piracy becoming easier and becoming more efficient as we go on, or kind of at a standstill with how we've progressed?
Well, I sure hope so. You know, I want to circle back to some of these groups and organizations that I had mentioned to you, because I'm very curious what the outcome was with that letter that the Authors Guild of America sent to Congress. And I'm extremely open myself if I need to give a speech or be an advocate in any way, or talk to others, because I would like to see something more being done. And I know like the Global IP Center, the division of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, they're working tirelessly on these issues. So I want to keep as up to date and up to speed as I possibly can. But it's I think what's happening is more and more people out there are catching on to what is going on. And my job is to make authors and publishers and public more aware, because I think more really does need to be done. I mean, it's very scary for me to think about publishing other books, and I've opened up this little publishing company, Sadie Press Publishing, but the idea of putting stuff out there, or even the people that do the trademarking, they're probably worried a little bit too, because, I mean, if this is happening constantly to their authors and to my own stuff and other people's, you know, it's a little frightening to think that you put something out there and it obviously goes to Amazon and other things, and then it's just being scanned, downloaded. And I know, like, ebook piracy is a real growing concern, and it's growing by leaps and bounds. And that's a big, big area for the actual piracy for these ebooks.
Right. So is there a way to prevent the piracy from happening at all? Like putting it, like how, you know, with home security, you put in a, you know, security system. Is there anything authors, publishers can do to prevent piracy, or can they just deal with the aftermath?
From what I know right now, I don't know if there's anything really, really in place that could kind of prevent this business from happening.
We can have an East India Trade Company.
but I can tell you one thing. I have a thing here where it says, how has online book piracy impacted the book publishing industry? And according to the Association of American Publishers, the publishing industry as a whole has lost $80 to $100 million to online piracy annually. From 2009 to 2013, the number of ebook internet piracy alerts that the Authors Guild of America has received from their membership has increased by over 300%. And during 2014, that number doubled. And so now that we're in 2016, I'm sure the numbers are going much, much higher.
Okay. Well, real fast, we've been visiting with Rhonda Reese. We're getting close to our time limit. So we're going to close out real fast here, Rhonda.
Sure.
And then come back in. We've been enjoying talking with Rhonda Reese. We've been enjoying it so much that we're going to have to do a two-parter with this one again. With a lot of our visits here lately, we've had a lot of fun with our visitors and enjoy having them on. So, Rhonda, again, thank you for coming on for part one of your interview here with us.
Thank you very, very much. And can I just add something? If anyone would like to join my cause or would like to personally let me know about your own individual experiences with online book piracy, you can contact me at my website at www.RhondaReese.com, RhondaReesePR.com, and I'd be more than happy to take a look at what has happened to you.
Okay. You jumped the gun. I was going to ask you about some information to get in touch with you, so thank you for doing that for us, Rhonda.
Oh, thank you.
She's just too PR for you.
I know. Right? She's ahead of me. We're beginners where she's been in this industry for a while.
Well, I just thought I'd slip that in there if we were low on time.
Definitely. But we've enjoyed visiting with Rhonda. We will be back with part two with some of our last little bit of questions. We appreciate everybody listening out there. We hope you've been enjoying this. We wanted to bring this to light for our audience, not just our people that listen for fun, but our potential authors that are out there, and also the library community that are listening, because this affects everybody.
Yeah, this affects everybody.
So thank you very much for listening, and we'll be back with part two. So join us then. Until then, thank you for listening, everybody.
Bye.
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 See ya.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.